it's time for Growing Hope, the show determined to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary, because you are extraordinary! And now, it's your host, Catherine Lang.
Hello there, and welcome to Growing Hope. I am Catherine Lang, and we are on a journey to de-stress our lives all throughout this month of September, which, by the way, is closing in to the end. And the end of September means the time for the last quarter of the year, time to really amp up and push forward. So we will be talking all about hope in October and really ramping up our hope journey. But for now, we are still right in the midst of de-stressing, and we are de-stressing by meditating. Finding meditation for our lives and utilizing meditation in our lives, because meditation, as we talked about yesterday, meditation is really just the honing and the focusing of our thoughts and keeping those thoughts in line with the good, the positive, and the uplifting, like Paul says in Philippians 4:8. Whatever's good, positive, encouraging, uplifting, that's what we're supposed to be thinking on. So that is what we're doing. But today we're talking about some of the myths of meditation, some of the things that we may have heard that are negative ideas, negative assumptions about meditation that could have kept us from utilizing meditation in the past, or even make us a little leery of utilizing it now. And the things that we're going to talk about today are how meditation empties your brain, how meditation always focuses you on self, how meditation is escapism, how meditation wastes time, and finally, how meditation won't change anything, so why bother? Now, growing up, I was not raised in meditation. I was not raised to understand the idea of meditation, except that I was, because I've mentioned before how I was taught to take a verse from Scripture and just repeat it over and over and over, let that settle into my heart, let that calm and soothe me in whatever was going on or whatever I was facing. And so that's how I grew up, not understanding that was meditation. Instead, what I always perceived meditation to be is the frog in Little Bear that's, you know, doing the om. And then when I read This Present Darkness, it made me a little hesitant to even say the word meditation, much less actually participate in meditation. But as I have grown to understand the truth behind meditation, what meditation is, what we're doing with meditation, then it's made it easier for me not only to accept it, but to embrace it. And not only to embrace it, but to embrace multiple types of meditation, because different meditations can help you in different ways. So the first myth that we're going to face today is the myth that meditation empties your brain. And I know that when one of the people I was talking to was trying to teach me about meditation, they were saying, you know, just clear your mind, just clear your mind, just clear your mind. But really what they were telling me to do was not to empty my mind, because that's physically impossible. You can't not think about anything, because you'll think about not thinking about anything. So you'll be thinking about something, even if it's not something we're thinking about. Instead, what we're trying to do with meditation is we're trying to calm our brain. And for some people, a calm brain could be related to or similar to or very much like an empty brain. But for the most part, a calm brain is a singular focused brain. So meditation doesn't empty our mind. It harnesses the thoughts. It corrals the thoughts and funnels them into a singular tunnel. So only one thought at a time. You know, we're focused in on one thought at a time. So it's not that we're emptying our mind. We are focusing our mind. The second thing that sometimes is a myth brought up by about meditation is that meditation will cause you to focus on self. We talked yesterday a little bit about how meditating actually helps fire off different areas of your brain, and one of the areas that it helps fire off is the area that will keep you not focused on self. It actually takes you out of that default position of self and moves you into a more aware state so that you're seeing more than yourself. So meditation actually does the very opposite. Let me stop for a second. Meditation on the good, the positive, the encouraging, the uplifting, the self-improvement, the all these kind of positive things, that's going to move you out of the default position of self. And the reason I clarify it is we talked yesterday about good meditation and bad meditation. And anytime you get caught up in the bad, the negatives, that's going to embroil you in that self place and selfish place. So when we're talking, when I am talking about meditation, I am talking about the positive meditation, the encouraging meditation, the laughter, you know, because I confess that even in yoga, I have a tendency to laugh. Told you, you can't take me anywhere. But we are talking about in the positive forms of meditation. And this feeds your heart, and in feeding your heart, you expand away from self, and you are looking at and seeing others around you. So the two myths that we've covered so far is that meditation empties your brain. What it actually does is harnesses your thoughts. It focuses your thoughts and funnels your thoughts into a singular thought process, and that it focuses on self, when in reality, it expands beyond self. The third thing is that meditation is just escapism. You're just trying to ignore your problems. And, okay, I'm going to give some credit to this. It's not so much that we're trying to ignore the problems, but we are trying to escape from the chaos and stress that comes from those problems. And in going into a meditative state and going to a deep breathing and going into this harnessing the thoughts, we calm our mind, we calm our, soothe our body so that we can then deal with whatever it is that we're meditating to escape from for the moment. So it's not really that we're escaping from the problems. We are preparing ourselves to be able to move through to face and deal with the problems that lie ahead. So it is escapism in some sense, but it is not true escapism in that you're ignoring the problem. You are preparing for the problem. So there's a difference there. When you're a true escapism is you just want to ignore everything. You want to forget it's all there. But with meditation, you're not trying to forget it's there. You're not trying to ignore it. What you're trying to do is harness your power, harness your focus, harness your energy so that you can then move forward in whatever it is that's coming against you. So that you can move forward, go through, go around, go over, whatever it is you got to do. Instead of letting it crowd you and stop you, you are harnessing your awareness, your understanding, your focus, so that you can get through it, you know, so we can keep going. Because we keep going, we have that momentum, and when we have that momentum, we can keep going. It works together. So it's not escapism, even though we are escaping for a moment. The fourth thing is that meditation wastes valuable time. I mean, you're just sitting there doing nothing. You're just wasting your time. You're not accomplishing anything, except that you're accomplishing something. When you think about all of the benefits we talked about yesterday, all the things that meditation does for you, all the ways that meditation can help you, reducing your heart rate, soothing your mind, expanding your thought process, all these things that, that meditation can do for you. It is not a waste to give yourself a few minutes in order to tap into all of those benefits. It is especially valuable if you make it something you do first thing in the morning so that you're prepared for your day, and something that you do last thing at night so that you rest easy. You go to sleep faster and you sleep better. When I've mentioned that I actually had to face a very difficult situation recently, and in doing so, I was getting a little bit sarcastic. I was not handling the situation well, and someone pulled me aside and told me I needed to take some time to breathe. You've got to take some time to breathe through this process so that you're ready to deal with what you're facing. It might have felt to some other people like it was a waste of time, but it gave me back control of the situation instead of responding or reacting to the situation. The meditative breaths cleared my mind, calmed my heart rate so that I wasn't acting emotionally, and allowed me to respond instead of react. And that's where I needed to be. I needed to be in a position to respond. So sometimes we have to take that time. We're not wasting it. We are investing it into the betterment of the next step. It allows us to do a more cautious or bold step because we've harnessed our thoughts. We are completely focused, alert, and aware about what we're doing, and the emotions that can be stirred up by situations are not controlling the moment. Instead, we are being intentional in what we're doing, driven instead by awareness and recognition. So it's not so much that meditation wastes valuable time as it is that meditation harnesses your time and makes it more valuable. Maybe that's the way we need to be looking at meditation. So now we have tackled 4 of the 5 myths, although they aren't the only 5 myths. In just the last few minutes, I've recognized that artificial enhancement of meditation is one myth or thing that has scared folks away from meditation practices. And I'm sure there's literally thousands more, or hundreds more, or at least one more. So if you think of something, come on over to the website and share with me. Despite what I tell my husband, I don't know everything. But don't you dare tell him I admitted that to you. The last thing, the last myth that I want to tackle today is that meditation won't change anything. And I get it. I get how it's easy to think that just sitting around thinking about it's not going to change anything. I am one of those people that likes to sit and imagine all the possibilities. And of course, in my world, all of the possibilities are good possibilities. I'm rarely thinking about contingency plans. I used to really think about contingency plans. I used to worry about and plan for disaster after disaster. And I was talking to my husband about this on He Said, She Said last night. He's like, you've never told me this. We will have been married 29 years this year. And this was the first time he ever heard about some of the things that used to keep me up at night. I would sit and I would think over all of these scenarios and how I would handle them. That is meditation on the negative side. And it leads to worry and stress. Since we're trying to combat worry and stress this week, what I like to think about is that meditation on the positive, when we're focusing and we're harnessing that power, It will not change the circumstances. Meditation cannot change your circumstances. What meditation does do, however, is that meditation changes you. And when I am changed, then my circumstances become different. Not that they've changed, but I see them differently. When you change your perception of the circumstances, then the circumstances, you're positioned to change your place in those circumstances. So on the surface, meditation looks like it's doing nothing, but underneath, it is doing so much to empower you and strengthen you and encourage you and motivate you and embolden you to do what you need to do in your circumstances to live beyond the limits of those circumstances. So while each of these myths have some truth to them, when you dig deeper and you really begin to understand, like we talked about yesterday, the power of meditation, and on Monday, the definition of meditation and the truth of meditation. Meditation is something that we're encouraged to do in Scripture. You know, that was one of the things we covered on Monday, is that it is covered in Philippians 4:8, Psalm 1:2, Psalm 119, all throughout 119, and even Proverbs 4:20 through 22. It's meditate on these things. Meditate on the Word. Meditate on the good, the positive, the uplifting, the encouraging, because what that does is fuel your hope, fuel your possibility thinking, fuel your strength and your courage so that despite the circumstances, you have what it takes to take that next step. And sometimes that's all you can do in those circumstances is meditate on these things. And that's the key. That's the vital key. What are you meditating on? A lot of these meditation myths come about because the meditation was on the wrong thing. Remember, good thoughts can have good results. Bad thoughts can have bad results. We can meditate on the wrong things, and we can meditate in the wrong way. We can say we're meditating for good and just ignore everything around us. But are we really meditating, or are we like the myth escapism? Are we just ignoring? True meditation soothes the heart, comforts the mind, calms the body, and even strengthens the immune system so that we are positioned to do what we were designed to do, to thrive in this life, to live bold and live in purpose and on purpose. It's a powerful tool when it's utilized correctly. Any tool used incorrectly can become a hazard. But when the tool is used correctly, then we build a solid structure on which to stand, on which to grow, on which to expand and touch the world so we can turn the world right side up. Excuse me, my husband likes to say upside right. Because, you know, I'd be normal. There are always in anything, if it is manipulated and turned the wrong way, there can be a problem. But when you look at what meditation is and what it was designed for and look at it through the lens of Scripture, then it is harnessing the power of your hope and your faith so that you funnel the ideas into one spot. Thank you so much for joining me for today's Growing Hope. I am Catherine Lang. Join me over on Facebook, The Catherine C. Lang. And until next time, remember, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thank you for joining us for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, where we are sharing hope, encouragement, and inspiration to do more. Visit www.catherinelang.com to invite Catherine to be part of your event or to share your own stories of possibility living. Until next time, remember that a seed of hope planted and nurtured will grow up into a world of possibilities.